On this episode of Finding Christ in Cinema, we pick up a man named Khan as we look for Christian themes in Star Trek Into Darkness. Can Mr. Spock and Captain Kirk show us how internal our struggle with God really is? How is Admiral Pike like God, as in a God of second chances? All that and more in 3, 2, 1. Hey, come on in. Admission is free. Grab a bowl of popcorn, extra butter, of course, and find a seat smack dab in the middle. It's time for Finding Christ in Cinema, episode number 46. I'm Michael.
And I'm Brendan, Captain on the Bridge, Taylor.
Join us and together we'll dig deeper into the silver screen classics of yesteryear, as well as the box office hits of today. We'll take a closer look at the stories they tell and see if we find the face of Jesus looking back. We're going to explore the deeper meanings of these films, their plots and their twists, the characters and their choices, and how we can relate them to the gospel of salvation and ultimately our Christian walk. You're tuned into Finding Christ in Cinema on the GCT Network.
This is your Great Commission transmission.
Hace frío, mi hermano.
Hey, yes.
Very si, much so.
See,
si. I think it's 7 degrees out there.
It has much cold.
Yeah, yes. Very much cold.
Yes.
All the cold is here right now. In fact, I don't really have that many updates this week because we've been snowed in and frozen in and haven't really been doing anything. But before we get into our updates, I want to remind all of our listeners out there that you want to catch the last episode of the Theonauts, episode number 42, titled God and War.
What you said.
Yes, a lot of talk these days, especially with the things that are going on in the world with ISIS or ISIL or whatever they're called, and the terrible things that are going on around the world. It's an apropos conversation that they had. They handled it very well, very tactfully.
And even from a film perspective, with the movie American Sniper,
yes,
this conversation is being, you know, stirred from a different direction. So it's very hot culturally right now.
Yeah. Again, make sure that you catch that. Get over to gctnetwork.com, the main site, or just type in your browser gctnetwork.com/TT for the Theonauts 42. gctnetwork.com/TT42. You know, the boys are going, they're going to Haiti next week.
Man, I know it.
Doing a good work. Well, David Gaddy has been working down there for quite a while, and Jeremiah is able for the first time to go down, so he's got his passport and all kinds of good stuff. So we're hoping to hear, at the very least, you pull out your iPhone or whatever kind of phone you have down there, turn on your audio recorder and grab some sound clips and stuff, and we're looking to have the Theonauts on Finding Christ in Cinema in a handful of episodes. Oh, did I just let a cat out? Should I... So we wish our brothers, the Theonauts, all the best down in Haiti. Brendan, what's been going on?
Well, just really quick to second what you just said. Lord willing, if the creek don't rise, we will have the Theonauts on here in a handful of episodes.
Oh, so I didn't have to mulligan?
Well, no, you just
I wasted a mulligan.
You just didn't say Lord willing and the creek don't rise.
Because right now the scorecard is pretty even on mulligans.
Right now you just didn't say Lord willing and the creek don't rise.
Okay, can I take back my mulligan?
Yeah. Man, okay, so what you said, Michael, I didn't even realize how busy I was until I had a snow day.
Hey, or I know how busy you are, so tell us.
Snow week.
Yeah.
Because Monday I was scheduled to go into work.
Oh, all of your stuff has been called off.
Work closed.
Wow.
And then Monday night and Tuesday night's rehearsals at the Fly were called off. So I had those 2 days open. And then let's see, Bedford County schools have been closed all week, or have been closed
basically, yeah,
all week. And that meant there was no rehearsal with the middle school theater. And then Wednesday night service was canceled. So there was no puppets over there.
Wow.
So I'm just like, man, all this dead time coming up.
Well, you know, in fact, my wife works 3 days a week, but she puts in about 40 hours in those 3 days.
Mm-hmm.
And it was Monday was the first day of the big frost and snow. Yeah. Okay, so going driving from Manchester up to Murfreesboro on I-24, there was a huge 30-car pileup or something, and Shelley says it must have happened right after I got through there. She had seen cars veering off the road and sliding, slipping and sliding. Well, it ended up, Brendan, it was so bad, she had to stay at a co-worker's house, one of the doctors, well, her boss, basically, overnight. That's the first time. I mean, we've been married. We're on 18 years now. And so I didn't sleep very well. Where's my wife? I didn't sleep very well that night.
Michael.
But she was safe, and that's the important thing. So, yeah, it's been pretty crazy here. Now, of course, our friends that are living in the north are going to say, you bunch of sissies down there. Which, I mean, goodness, Brendan. I mean, if you see some of the pictures of what's going on in the northeast.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Now, that's some snow.
I just want to bring up that during my driving in the neighborhood for the past couple of days, I did some fishtails.
Oh, yeah.
Well, and, you know, luckily, nothing was hurt.
Yes.
And nobody was hurt.
Right.
But, man, I feel like a jerk saying that now because of the North people.
Well, they're tougher. They're tougher.
Yeah, they're thicker skinned.
They know what they're going. Oh, hey, I sent out the first real GCT Network newsletter yesterday. Up until now, we have a newsletter, an email newsletter list. You could go to any of our websites. So go to ChristInCinema.com, and there will be a sign-up form on the sidebar or somewhere on the site there. You just punch in your email address, and it'll automatically add you to our mailing list. And, well, up until now, on Mondays, we've been sending out a, hey, this, you may have missed these things from the Great Commission Transmission Network in the past week, and it consists of updates from Finding Christ in Cinema and the Theonauts. Well, as we're building the list yesterday, I said, you know what, I'm gonna try something. I'm gonna get crazy here and try something. So I just sent out a quick message to the people on the list, reminding them about that they can tune in live to the Great to GCTNetwork.com/live will allow you to say, tune in and watch Brendan and I performing Finding Christ in Cinema each Thursday afternoon. We start the show at about 3 o'clock p.m. Central Time, but we turn the camera on about a half hour before that in order to, as we get warmed up for the show and talk and what have you. So you can actually eavesdrop in on us for a good half hour before we start the show. We'll give you more information on that at the end of this episode. But to remind everybody, go to any of the Great Commission Transmission Network websites, and there will be a sign up form for the mailing list, and you want to be on that because you'll get some insider information behind the scenes. We'll share with you things that are coming up, maybe some plans and thoughts, and share those with you and get your feedback on that. So there you go. What else, Brendan?
Well, I went to the movies and I read a book.
You read a book at the movies? It was that bad?
No, that would be rude, Michael. I didn't do that. I went to the movies and I went to the movies, comma.
And then I read
a book.
Wow. Okay, so let's start with the movie. What'd you see?
The movie was Kingsman, The Secret Service.
Oh, that's that spy movie.
Yeah.
What do you think of that?
It was really well done. And
filter or sponge?
Filter.
Filter.
Filter. Definitely filter.
Okay.
And I mentioned all why in the Monday movie review.
Ah, okay. Posted this morning.
All there. Yeah. It was really exciting. It was funny. It was witty.
I'd like to see Colin Firth because he's a favorite of my wife.
He was good.
And I think he's pretty awesome. So who else is in that?
Hold on.
Okay.
I do want to say that I never thought Colin Firth could be quick on the comedic timing, but
hey,
he's
Madam McPhee.
He's pretty good.
Nanny McPhee.
I never saw that.
What?
Sorry, Colin Firth is just another rom-com guy for me. That's all I know him as.
The kid has never seen Nanny McPhee.
Kids, well, later on in the episode, you're going to find out what else I haven't seen.
Oh.
Of course, if you tuned in live, you would already know what that is.
Yes.
Let's see.
Oh. Okay, so
yeah, go ahead.
Who else is in this film?
Samuel Jackson.
Nick Fury? It's a crossover?
No. Oh. Instead, he plays evil genius Valentine.
Okay.
And he does well with he always does well.
Well, yeah.
And in this film, I'm not going to spoil anything by saying this. He has a lisp. His character has a lisp.
No, that's definitely a...
No, it's not, because it's in the it's in the trailer. It's in the trailer. Nothing was ruined by me saying that.
Okay, okay.
Nothing was spoiled. Now, the main guy, the main character, Eggsy, and yes, that is his real name, Eggsy, he's played by Taron Egerton. And I mentioned... Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. He's a new guy.
Okay.
I looked up his IMDb profile. Everything's been on TV up until now.
Oh,
and right. And of course, now he's listed in like all these pre-production films, and he's just... I think this is his big breakout debut.
Well, good for him. So. Good for him. So, recommended or not? Yay or nay?
Man, I want to recommend it because it's so exciting and entertaining. But with that, I'll say it's rated R for a reason.
All right. All right.
One particular reason is the grotesquely gratuitous mutilation.
Hey, wait a second. Let's just say, what? I think you've given enough. Hey, let's direct people to your review.
Hey. Okay, what you said.
Okay.
Yes.
Let's direct everybody to ChristInCinema.com so you can read Brendan's Monday movie review on, what's this movie called again?
Kingsman, The Secret Service.
Okay, so it's not The Kingsman and The Redeemer. Oh, no, that's a Kinsman Redeemer. I wanted to make that work somehow, and it just...
You couldn't...
I couldn't redeem that.
Couldn't redeem that joke,
could you? Okay, on to the book that you were reading at the theater.
Oh, yeah, so... Anyway, so I finished misreading scripture with Western eyes.
Okay. Tell us about it. Okay. What's your big takeaway?
Big takeaway, actually two takeaways.
Okay.
But one, the first one will reinforce the second one. First takeaway is reading scripture as written to a collectivist community instead of an individualist one.
Because
that's what scripture was originally written to, was the Israelite people.
Yes.
They were the people. It wasn't just one person of God. Now, granted, God spoke through individual persons known as prophets. He spoke through them, but he was speaking to the whole people.
The children.
The community. Yes.
Yes.
And
of Israel.
And it's really easy to get different meanings out of different passages when you have that in mind. For example, one of the big ones that the book mentions is Jeremiah 29:11.
Okay.
You can probably quote it with me. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster.
Whoa. Now I know from TV preachers and Joel Osteen types that verse is speaking to me specifically. And God has these great plans for me that a lot of times has to do with money.
Oh, Michael, how dare you?
What?
No.
Am I misreading scripture?
Jeremiah spoke that, yes, through Western eyes. Jeremiah spoke that prophetic message to the Israelite people while they were on the brink of destruction.
But surely, Brendan, I can say yes, okay, sure. He's writing to a whole group of people, the children of Israel collectively. But surely I can say me specifically. No?
No, that's not biblical.
Oh, okay.
That's just not biblical, and I'm sorry. Like I said, it was written to the Israelite people while they were on the brink of destruction, not while they were graduating high school and getting ready to be singled out by their favorite colleges.
Okay.
So with that point established, the second takeaway point is the main catch, I think, for this whole book, is the book wants to urge us to reconsider the things that go without saying. Because...
Explain.
That, okay. Well, when we read scripture, you know, we can see a sentence, like I said, for I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. We can read that, and we think the stuff that's going without saying is that he's talking to me, Brendan Taylor, in 21st century America. I would think that goes without saying. However, what it originally meant for the people, what went without saying for them, is that he was speaking to them as a people, as a collective whole.
Yeah.
And it really sets up a whole different paradigm for reading the Bible.
Nice.
And thus fellowshipping with God through that activity.
So, recommended?
Oh, yeah. All oh, right. Yeah, definitely.
So, what's the information again?
That is misreading scripture with Western eyes. I can't remember who wrote it. It's two guys, E. Brandon.
You something. Should be able to look that up pretty easily.
Yeah, just misreading scripture with Western eyes.
Okay, what have you moved on to?
I have moved on to The Celebration of Discipline by Richard J. Foster.
Wow, that is an intriguing title.
Oh, have you not? Oh,
no.
Michael. Oh, hold on. Okay. I know I should have brought my copy with me.
No, well, we can talk more about that next week. I'll give a little tease for everybody.
Give a little tease. Yes. His thing, he opens with a wonderful quote. I can't remember who said it, but it's not him. He quotes the person in the book, but he says, yes, I'm a created being in the image of God, but I have that image debased, and I have to be taught how to pray, how to meditate, how to fast, how to so-and-so, and so how to actually perform these disciplines
Wow.
in walking with God.
That almost ties into the point that I'm going to make in this movie coming up. Oh, Brendan, anything else?
No, I'm ready for the movies.
You are?
Yes.
You want to go?
Yes.
Let's go!
You think your world is safe. It is an illusion. Enjoy these final moments of peace.
By now, all of you have heard what happened in London. The man who did it
is one of our top agents.
Your commanders have committed a crime I cannot forgive. None of you are safe.
Clear the road!
Have I got your attention now?
This could just be the beginning.
I request permission to go after him.
Starfleet is not about vendetta, Kirk.
Maybe it should be, sir.
Jim, you're not actually going after this guy, are you? I have no idea what I'm supposed to do. I only know what I can do.
We're gonna do this. We gotta do it now.
We will not fit.
We'll fit! I told you we fit.
I am not sure that qualifies.
I watched you murder innocent men and women.
I will make you answer for what you did.
You have no idea what you have done. I will walk over your cold corpses.
Let's go!
We're outgunned. Outnumbered.
So we come out shooting.
I am better.
At what?
Everything.
What a big movie. Big. Grande.
What you said.
Yeah. What do you think?
I just get pumped listening to it.
Yeah. Great trailer. Great film.
Yep.
Now, so you being a lifelong Star Trek fan, how did you... What? You being a lifelong Star Trek fan...
Wait. I haven't seen anything.
Where am I? How did I get on this show?
See, listeners,
with you,
I told you.
How in the world could such a thing be? You did this to me with Lord of the Rings and The Hobbit, and now you are going to do it on Star Trek. How many more times, Brendan, am I going to have to deal with you?
Don't know. I don't know. It's like every time something pops up that I haven't read or
you
seen.
You know what? You need an intercessor real bad, because the divide between you and I don't know if it could be bridged. Oh, and actually that's going to tie into my point on this show. Okay. So as being a complete noob.
Hey. N00B.
Seriously, your only real... excursion into this 5-year mission to explore space and whatnot is through J.J. Abrams?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
You don't even get to appreciate the fact that this is a completely different timeline. You may know that. You may have the head knowledge of that from the beginning of the 2009 reboot, but you don't understand how radically different, yet beautiful, in the way that, you know what, let me just say this first before I forget. Watching this film just gives me the utmost in confidence, or of confidence, the utmost confidence in J.J. Abrams to take Star Wars. Oh, he's going to do a wonderful, beautiful job. Oh, I'm so excited, especially even more after watching this the last couple of, last couple of times this week. Okay, so Noob.
Hey.
Tell us some impressions.
That's me.
Yeah.
I like the relationship between Captain Kirk and Dr. Spock. Okay. I mean, Mr. Spock. Whatever, okay. Whatever he is.
Spock. Yeah, it's Mr. Spock.
It is Mr. Spock. Okay. Yeah. Well, it wasn't in the series. Wasn't he a doctor?
No, Mr. Spock. It's Dr. McCoy.
Oh, that's right. Okay. See, I didn't even know that. Okay.
Here's Star Trek in a nutshell.
Give it to me.
Captain Kirk.
Yo.
Mr. Spock.
Uh-huh.
Dr. McCoy.
Yeah.
And Scotty. That's it. See, so if you have any other series, whether movie or TV, and it doesn't have these guys in it, it's not Star Trek. It may be fine all on its own. It may stand well on its own. It's not Star Trek. FCC's very own Patrick Stewart makes a fine Captain Picard. If it was some other story, it's not Star Trek. You got to have Kirk, Spock, Bones, and Scotty.
But what about Chekhov?
Well, yeah, of course. But I'm talking about the four main guys. Oh, those are the guys. You got to have them. You know.
Sorry,
okay.
I just like hearing Captain on the bridge,
and he does a fine job. That actor. He was a young fellow in the 2009, the first reboot. So now that I just offended all kinds of people that are younger than me, see the guys that are my age and older. Like I would hope that David Gaddy would agree with me that the original series is Star Trek. Anything after that could be great. Wow, that's wonderful. It's just not Star Trek. Just isn't.
Oh, it's not canon.
Yeah, it should have been called like Star Journey or Star I don't know.
Star Wave.
Voyage. Star Voyage.
Star Quest.
Yeah, Star Quest. Star Quest. Yeah, there you go. All right. what else? What about the story?
Yeah, ask me a specific question.
Okay. No, I don't like specifics. I like to pick your brain and see what's on your heart. So, okay, well, but specifically...
Story is specific enough.
Okay.
And I liked it. I like the way it's set up. I like there's a lot of foreshadowing in the beginning. I love how there's dramatic foreshadowing. Something I'll get to.
Yeah.
In my point,
what would be that whole opening? The epilogue,
the prologue.
Prologue, I meant.
Yeah. With that, I love it's really well structured because you see that there's not only conflicts with Starfleet and for example the Klingon, because you know there's this whole feud between Starfleet and the Klingon civilization, to where it's a bad thing to go into their zone, to their world. But there's that kind
of... It's worse than a bad thing.
Yeah, there you go.
It's a bad thing to go into the neutral zone.
Yeah, that's bad is neutral.
Yeah.
Or neutral is bad. It's worse to actually go there. Now, I like that scope of conflict, but then I like how it's also brought down to, for example, Marcus and Kirk.
Right.
That kind of conflict. It's like almost like a father-son dynamic. Which is really well established in the first film, I think, because that's the only reason Marcus picks up Kirk in that bar or wherever they have their little fist fight, their little tantrum. Yeah, in Iowa. Yeah. In Iowa.
There's nothing halfway about the Iowa way to greet you if we... Oh, that's a totally different movie. I just went into Music Man.
That's so different movie. So I like the dynamics of the conflicts, especially with Kirk and Spock.
Yeah.
Which, honestly, I think, artistically speaking, they each represent different things. Kirk is the head. No. Kirk is the heart. Spock is the head. And they're always going to be fighting each other. But out of their fighting, they come to compromise, and that's what best leads the Enterprise in their mission. And I love that dynamic.
Good point. Yep, absolutely. And in fact, you know, that certain point in this film where Kirk says to Spock, I don't know what to do. You're the man to lead them. You're mm-hmm. the man to captain this ship now, because I don't know what I'm doing. And he places all that trust in Spock. It's beautiful, that interplay. Yeah. And we could go on and on. I mean, this movie was so big, Brendan, that I'm just the whole way. Oh, yeah, we could talk about that. There we go. I mean, it's just late. I don't know if J.J. Abrams is a believer. See, now I have to think, oh, well, let's look at the end of Lost, you know, the series Lost. Well, now J.J. Abrams really just got that series going. So, you know, hey, here's my idea. Now you guys run with it. I'm out of here. So I don't know how much, if he said at the beginning of the Lost series and said, okay, and this is where the story ends. This is where it ends up. Well, it ends up on a very spiritual note that most people said stunk, and I said, that's awesome. I'm one of the few people that say the way that Lost ended was awesome. However, Supergirl's in the chat room saying something. If you can, you read that while I go on my little tangent here. But I have to think that J.J. Abrams, I mean, at least it leads me to believe that he's got some kind of a spiritual belief system going on inside of him. And I hope and I pray that he is, in fact, a believer. And if he's not, that he is at a point in his life where somebody could easily lead him to the truth, to the light. Because this film, this story is spiritual all the way through, even though you do need to watch this film with your filter up, because there are things.
Yeah.
It being a Hollywood blockbuster movie, they got to have, you know, a gratuitous, you know, partial, you know, undressing and
alien nudity.
Yeah. And language, you know. Yeah. So you have to have your filter up to watch this film. At least I do. But still, the storyline, the themes that you can pull out of this in order to share the gospel with your friends, it's a plethora. It's myriad. What did Supergirl have to say?
Oh, she was just saying, hey guys, can't stay for long. Just say, I love the idea of the live streaming and Star Trek.
Yeah.
And she's looking forward to tuning into this episode later.
All right. Thank you, Supergirl. And thank you for that feedback that you left on Stitcher that we talked about last episode.
Yeah.
You know what? In fact, Brendan, it's so thick and so heavy. Let's go. Let's jump right into let's pull some themes out of here to give some tools to the listeners to spread that gospel, that good news.
Well, I mentioned briefly the relationship between Spock and Kirk and how a lot of times it's one versus the other. But in this film, we kind of see how they're alike. And actually we see how they're really different. How they're alike is their willingness to go inside the inside down to the core of a situation. Michael.
Sorry.
They're both willing to go inside to the core and fix it from the inside. Now, that being said, Spock is still wanting to fulfill the rules, the prime directive.
Right.
He still wants to follow that through, whereas Kirk, he's more concerned with saving the lives of his friends, which is, hey, both are noble. I would say both are noble.
Amen.
Both are God approved, I would say.
Hey,
because honestly,
one is law and one is grace.
What exactly?
Yes,
and that's what I want to talk about. See, Kirk and Spock, they both work from the inside to save people. Well, that's how God works, from the inside. In fact, just as Spock works from the inside of the volcano to save the Nibiru civilization, and just how Kirk works from the inside to save the Enterprise, to save his crew, that's how God works within the inside of our hearts to save us. So let's listen to this first clip. It's in the prologue, like we talked about earlier. Bones and Kirk have disrupted worship at the temple. They've stolen some sacred scroll, and they're being chased by the locals.
Kirk to Shuttle One! Locals are out of the kill zone! You're clear! Repeat! Spock, get in there! Neutralize the volcano! Let's get out of here!
But there was a reason they were disturbing this worship service, and that was because the temple they were worshiping in was in the kill zone. That is, it was in an area that, if the volcano erupted, would have been destroyed. And in fact, later on in the scene, it is destroyed. And we could even see, I think, the native priest or whatever, he looks at the destruction of the temple, and I think he realizes that they were disturbed to get out of there. And I think he realizes that Kirk and Bones were sent there to save him.
Ah.
I don't. That's not proven. That's hearsay. I'm just throwing that out there.
That is a good example of eisegesis.
Of what?
Eisegesis. You just read into the text to make it say something that you think it should say, and that would fit nicely. But that's okay, because this is a movie. You can do that.
Yes.
Don't do that with the Bible, friends.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's a bad thing. That's not a good thing. For a movie, it's okay, but for the Bible, not necessarily. Anyway, yeah. So as the locals are chasing Kirk and Bones, Spock has to drop inside this active volcano with a cold fusion device, something that will, once it detonates, it will freeze automatically the lava, and I love the concept.
Yeah.
In fact, I kind of want to mention this in design, but you've got the red hot glowing of the lava, and then the icy cold blue of the detonation. I love it. It's just so cool.
It is. I agree.
Now, the thing is, as Spock is being lowered into the volcano, his safety line snaps, and he has to. Luckily, he lands on a rock formation that hasn't melted yet. Talk about lucky chances, right there.
Yeah,
he finds one. He's able to set up the cold fusion device, but he doesn't want to be saved himself. And we'll listen to this next clip to find out why.
Lieutenant, we have an open channel, Mr. Spock.
The heat's frying his comms, but we still have contact.
Spock!
I have activated the device, Captain. When the countdown is complete, the reaction should render the volcano inert.
Yeah, and that's going to render him inert.
Should we have use of the transporters?
Negative.
Not with these magnetic fields.
I need to beam Spock back to the ship. Give me one way to do it.
Maybe if we had a direct line of sight.
Hold on, man. You're talking about an active volcano, sir. If that thing erupts, I can't guarantee we can withstand the heat.
I don't know that we can maintain that kind of altitude.
Our shuttle was concealed by the ash cloud, but the Enterprise is too large. If utilized in a rescue effort, it would be revealed to the indigenous species.
Spock, nobody knows the rules better than you, but there has got to be an exception.
None. Such action violates the Prime Directive.
Shut up, Spock. We're trying to save you, damn it.
Doctor, the needs of the many outweigh the needs of the few.
Spock, we're talking about your life!
The rule cannot be broken under any
circumstances. Spock!
Try to get him back online.
Man. The feels.
Yeah.
The feels. He says, the needs of the many outweigh the needs of the few. Kirk says, nobody knows the rules better than you, but there has got to be an exception. And then Spock comes back with, no, such action, any attempt to try to rescue me would be an insult, would be an offense to the Prime Directive. And that's the code of law they're working within. Oh.
Huh.
Oh, hold on. I just had another revelation.
Oh.
We'll get to that later. So we have this instance of not only Spock working inside the active volcano, which is what most people would say a guaranteed death. We see this image of self-sacrifice.
Yes.
Now let's move on.
Okay.
We'll leave that there.
I'm tracking with you.
Okay. You're trekking
with... Star trekking across a universe.
So we move forward about an hour and a half later into the movie to the same example, except this time it's Kirk who is going to the core of the Enterprise.
Getting to the core of the problem.
Yeah. Going to the radioactive core.
Yes.
That is. And he even goes in without a suit. He could have put on a suit, he could have done that, but there wouldn't have been enough time. After all, the Enterprise had just suffered a few good laser shots from Khan.
If you were familiar with Star Trek at all, you would understand the little flip-flop on this whole this scene. But hey, continue on, sorry.
Well, first of all, we'll get to that in a second.
All right.
So Kirk is going into the core, into the heart of the Enterprise. He's left the safety of the bridge, and he's gone down. He's gone down into the dark, dirty, radioactive, deadly part of the ship. He has to do that in order to realign the power source. I guess like a power generator, the
fusion core.
Yeah, fusion science.
Yeah, science.
It's in there.
wait. Science! Okay.
He has to realign it. And he has to do that to save the crew, because reactivate, there we go, the power to the Enterprise, and they can put up their shields, and then they can survive landing on Earth. The thing is, let's just listen to that third clip there. That banging sound, that hard knocking sound we heard, that was Kirk literally jumping and kicking the bottom half of the core reactor and trying to get it to realign with the top half.
Trying to get it to budge.
Exactly. And it's bad enough that he went in there and started climbing. It's worse that he actually got up there and actually held, and he's already
weakened by the radioactive.
Yeah. Like his skin is like deteriorating.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It's so symbolic.
Yeah. Yes.
So we have these two images. We have these images of two people who are willing to go down to the core of the matter and solve things from the inside. Well, thankfully, that's how God wants to work with us.
Amen.
So let's see. First, just a quick look at the Sermon on the Mount.
Hey, good place to go.
Hey, I love it.
Yeah.
In this sermon, Jesus shows us how internal the struggle between God and man really is. And he shows us how broken and depraved we as humans really are. Example, it isn't murder that separates us from God. It's hatred and anger within our hearts. And it's not adultery that separates us from God. It's lust and covetousness in our hearts. Now, granted, God did establish the Ten Commandments. He said, you know, do not lie, do not commit adultery, do not kill. He established
and a bunch
those.
Of others.
Yeah, and you know.
Seven others.
Yeah. had to do a quick count. He established those as rules, but those were rules that were to be followed on the outside. The thing is, he didn't really, he did establish how to work with the heart, because that's been just as much as part of the Old Testament as it is the New Testament. The thing is, it just got lost in translation, apparently.
Man, the way that we click, Brendan, you're setting me up. All the way, you are setting me up. Continue on.
I'm just doing my best.
It's awesome.
Here. I'm just doing my best.
See, even though you don't know good movies and you don't know good books and stuff, God has brought us together to work together. I think it might be so that I could help you along in certain areas that...
Man, I just... That day you found me on the side of the road making artificial flowers.
Yes. For ladies of society to wear.
Yeah.
Okay.
Anyway...
For those who didn't hear the Theonauts episode that we were guests on, they have no idea what that little reference was for.
Hashtag get over there. Okay, really quick to wrap it up, I want to point my key text to Philippians 2:13.
Do it, baby.
For God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him.
Oh.
God is working in you. That is, just to put it biblically, that is God the Holy Spirit working inside us, helping, counseling, encouraging us to follow the example that Jesus set for us in order to get back home to God the Father.
Amen!
And then He says, giving you the desire and the power. He's making us willing and able. That's what that translates to. Willing, we have the desire, we have the want, we have that burning passion to want to do that. And the power, he's giving us the ability. And when we are willing and able, we can then do what pleases God.
Amen.
And when that happens, we're kind of like restored, like the Enterprise is restored after Kirk's efforts.
Shield restored.
Command, power online.
Mr. Spock,
altitude stabilizing.
It's a miracle.
There are no such things.
Now, Mr. Spock, we might disagree a little bit.
Yeah,
there.
That put a damper on the sound clip.
Yeah, that did. but I think he's trying to say this just didn't happen by happenstance. This happened because it was preordained.
So she really should have said it's serendipity.
Well.
And he'd say there is no such thing as serendipity.
Yeah, that's just logical, Spock, for you. I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah.
So yeah, key text Philippians 2:13.
Awesome. Okay, well, is it my turn?
Sure, Michael.
Listen,
why not?
I want you to, as I go along through mine, you pipe in whenever you say, hey, that ties right into what I just talked about. Hey, okay. because you're going to see how, and Brendan and I, we don't plan these shows out. He goes off and does all of his, all of his play stuff all during the week and thinks his own thoughts. And I, sit here in the studio and think my own thoughts. And then we come together on Thursday and we put together a show. That's how this works. So there is no collusion. So to speak. Every once in a while, he'll say, or we'll ask each other, where are you going with this movie? I don't, just to get a heads up. So, Brendan, I want to talk about Admiral Pike and James T. Kirk, or Jesus and the Man, or Jesus and Man, or even the God of Second Chances.
And now for something you'll really like. Sorry. Whenever there's multiple titles to something, that's just what I think of.
Well, and where did you get that from?
A Rocky and Bullwinkle.
Yes, and where do you think I got this from?
Oh, Rocky. Okay, there you go. Okay. I thought so.
I'm surprised you know.
I thought so.
You know the real Rocky and Bullwinkle? Not like some kind of Hollywood movie with Rene Russo?
No.
You know
Sorry.
The real Rocky and Bullwinkle?
Yes, that I do know.
Why,
yes.
There is hope, friends. There's hope for this show. We may make it to episode 47.
Lord willing, and the creek don't rise.
All right. First of all, let's lay down some groundwork. Kirk equals man. The Enterprise equals life.
Ooh.
Ooh, do you like that one? Mm. Pike, Admiral Pike equals Jesus. And Starfleet equals God.
Okay.
All right. So, starts off, we know you set up the prologue beautifully for us. Kirk did a no-no, which Spock let him know exactly what that was. What can you not do? Violate?
You can't violate the Prime Directive.
Right.
And I think you might get to this here in a second. But wasn't his main sin lying on the official report?
His main sin was doing it. He broke the rules. Rules of the Prime Directive, which is the law.
You violated a dozen Starfleet regulations and almost got everyone under your command killed.
Except I didn't. You know how many crew members I've lost since I
That's
the captain,
your problem.
Sir?
You
not
think
one,
you're infallible. You think you can't make a mistake. It's a pattern with you. The rules are for other people.
Some should be.
And what's worse is you're using blind luck to justify your playing God. Given the circumstances, this has been brought to Admiral Marcus's attention. He convened a special tribunal to which I was not invited. You understand what Starfleet regulations mandate be done at this point. They've taken the Enterprise away from you. They're sending you back to the Academy.
Admiral, listen.
No, I'm not going to listen. Why should I listen? I'm not going to listen. You don't listen to anybody but yourself.
But every decision I've made...
I can't listen. You don't comply with the rules. You don't take responsibility for anything. And you don't respect the chair. You know why? Because you're not ready for it.
Oh, yes.
Boom.
That was like his little Sermon on the Mount.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
You have no respect for the rules.
So simply put, Brendan, Kirk broke the rules.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. He lives a life of rule breaking. Started all the way, I mean, from the beginning. When in the first movie, when we first meet him, you know, he's driving his stepdad's car as a little kid, being chased by the law.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, he's a rule breaker. And like Adam, man, right? Captain Kirk equals man. What, after beginning to sin, Adam and Eve, once they sinned, they fell into a life of constant sin.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't stop. James T. Kirk is us. The Enterprise, life. The Enterprise was taken from him. Starfleet represents a holy god. How? Well, God is the grand arbiter who alone is empowered to decide matters. He alone, Brendan, can judge. He alone can determine what is right and true because of who he is. That's an arbiter. And because Captain Kirk sinned, he must be punished. Just as night follows day. It must happen. It's the rules, with a capital R, you know, to quote Peter Kraft from our first Lord of the Rings show, which was Finding Christ in Cinema, episode 40. Talking about the rules,
right?
Capital R, that's the law. But now, to quote C.S. Lewis, through his wonderful Christ figure, Aslan, there is a deeper magic.
Ooh.
Now, I could have spent this whole talk going back to that whole prologue and talking about what, you know, Captain Kirk is Jesus. He makes a great Christ figure, too. I will not stand by and watch them die. What, you know, because those natives, they were man.
Mm-hmm.
And they were on their way to death. But the Christ figure says, no, I'm going to fix this. Yes.
How appropriate is it that if we're going with Captain Kirk as the Jesus, as the Christ figure?
We could have. That would have been in the alternate timeline of FCC.
Oh. but honestly, how appropriate would it have been to say, just as Kirk drew out the natives from the temple and out to the mountainside?
Yeah.
Oh,
was Jesus
drawing that? Well, he did the same thing.
Yeah, and it's real simple. Follow me.
Yeah, he said, follow me.
Yeah, and I will lead you from death to life.
Oh, man.
Okay, but we're not doing that. That's alternative timeline FCC 46. That one doesn't happen.
If that were to happen, we would say, all right, good show.
Yeah. But see, in this timeline, we are sticking with Admiral Pike. Okay, so before we move any further, we're going to read Joel, the prophet Joel, chapter 2. And this was given by the good Lord via Facebook this week as I'm thinking, where am I going to find? I need a text to back up what I'm trying to say, a perfect text. And here it came to me from Sacred Assembly. Joel chapter 2, verses 12 through 14 out of the New English Translation. Yet even now, the Lord says, return to me with all your heart, with fasting, weeping and mourning. Tear your hearts, not just your garments. You were talking about hearts in the Sermon on the Mount.
That's right.
Tear your hearts, not just your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is merciful and compassionate, slow to anger and boundless in loyal love, often relenting from calamitous punishment. Who knows? Perhaps he will be compassionate and grant a reprieve and leave blessing in his wake, a meal offering and a drink offering for you to offer to the Lord your God. Those two verses are so jam-packed. We could sit here for hours unpacking this whole thing, but I'm going to try and do it really quickly. So you're talking about heart. Well, there's a couple of big words in here. One of them is relent, right? Often relenting from calamitous punishment. That's big. Mm-hmm. That's Hollywood movie epic, calamitous punishment. But often relenting from that. What does relent mean? It's a verb, and it means to abandon or mitigate a harsh intention or cruel treatment. Okay? Kirk, you sinned, life is taken from you. The Enterprise is taken from you. Whoa. And that's what we all suffer under. But God often relents from calamitous punishment. Well, there's another one. Mitigating. Now that is in, mitigating is implied in relent. And mitigate is also a verb, and it says make less severe, serious, or painful. Okay. Oh, do you see what? Oh, you have an idea where I'm going here, don't you?
It almost sounds like another M word.
It does.
Do I say it now?
Say it.
Mercy.
Oh, what were you thinking? Yes. No, that's a beautiful word. Fits perfectly. And I'm glad that you said it right now, because now people are going to have a better idea what's going on. But then there's that other big word, reprieve. Perhaps God will be compassionate and grant a reprieve. Reprieve, a verb, to cancel or postpone the punishment of someone, especially someone condemned to death. Life is taken from you, Kirk. Man, the Enterprise, life is taken from you because you broke the rules. Do not eat from that tree. You do eat anything, but not that one.
Oh, are you sure I can't eat from this one? Because I'm gonna do it. Got it? Oh, man, I did it.
So, because our God is a God of second chances, Admiral Pike, our Christ figure, he is Jesus making intercession on Kirk's behalf, our behalf. That's what Jesus does. It's like Moses, who, as a type and shadow of Jesus, interceded on behalf of the children of Israel time and time and time and time again. So second chances does not mean twice. That's it. You got a chance, now you get your second chance, and now you're out. No, look at Moses.
That's not what that
means. No, look at Moses and the children of Israel. How often God said, move, step aside, I'm going to destroy them. No, you can't. No, you can't do that. Yeah.
Don't do it.
Don't do that. Please. In fact, kill me. Oh, type and shadow of Christ. Yeah. You better believe it. Kill me, Lord. Oh, Brendan, I love it. Okay. Numbers chapter 14, verse 19 out of the New English Translation, Moses says, please forgive the iniquity of these people according to your great loyal love, just as you have forgiven this people from Egypt even until now. Second chance, another one. Our God is a God of second chances, baby. That's all there is to it. But he is just, Moses is just a type and a shadow of Jesus. Jesus, oh. And what is the book of Hebrews tell us? Jesus is the ultimate savior and intercessor. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25 out of the New English Translation. So he, Jesus, Captain Pike, is able to save completely those who come to God through him, because he always lives. He always lives to intercede for them. God set down the law because of who he is. He's the arbiter of that. Man breaks the law, something has to be done. God is the God of second chances, and he does that through his Son, who always lives to intercede for us. And Captain Pike beautifully exemplifies that. Well, in the bar scene, Kirk he's crying in his beer, so to speak, literally and figuratively.
Yeah.
In comes Captain Pike, and he starts up a conversation. What does he say? The Enterprise, life has been given to me. And Kirk says, watch out for that first officer.
Spock's not going to be working with me. He's been transferred.
USS Bradbury. You're going to be my first officer. Yeah, Marcus took some convincing. But every now and then, I can make a good case.
What did you tell him?
The truth. That I believe in you. That if anybody deserves a second chance, it's Jim Kirk.
Is that not what Jesus does? Interceding for us?
Every time.
Every single time. I believe in these people. I love them. I love them. And if anybody deserves a second chance, it's them through me because of the everlasting, boundless, in loyal love God that we serve. Brendan, key text. I told you I was going to be in and out. Key text is Joel chapter 2 and verse 13. Just remember this. And most of you have an NIV out there. Most people use NIV these days. I still recommend the NET, but the NIV is fine. In fact, we're going to use it for Joel chapter 2, verse 13. Remember this. And this is what you can say as you are sitting on your
double-decker couch
with your friend or loved one. And you say, you know what? Gosh, Captain Pike is a great picture of Jesus. And Captain Kirk is a picture of me. I break the rules. I've always broken the rules, but our God is a God of second chances. Really, what do you mean? Well, let me lay this one on you. God says through the prophet Joel in chapter 2, verse 13 in the NIV, rend your heart and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in love, and he relents from sending calamity. Oh, beautiful picture. And the gospel's right in there. God pleads with us. Tear your heart. Rend your heart. Be brokenhearted about your sin, and then we can be reconciled. Return to the Lord your God, for I am gracious and compassionate. And I don't want to send that calamity. And Jesus goes to bat for us, says, you know what? Life was taken from you, but now you are my first officer. Then we're invited into the story, into the mission of God, just like we talked about in Godzilla. And we go out and we bring other people so they can be the first officer too, right? Mm. That's the gospel right there. And it is beautifully portrayed in Star Trek Into Darkness. Questions, comments, piggybacks, editorials, off-the-wall remarks?
No. I mean, honestly, that really hit it. That was good. Sorry, I just got the feels over here. Oh. It's just part of it.
All right. It's time for some feedback, Brendan.
Hey, guys.
Wait.
Says. Huh?
Says who?
Well, I'm about to tell you.
Oh, okay.
Give me a mulligan.
Okay. Do it right.
Hey, guys, says Patron Saint Philip via email.
Yay, Patron Saint Philip!
Something I get from the Lord of the Rings trilogy is the example set by Sam. Yes, sir.
Yes,
yes, yep. Sir.
Yes, yes, yes.
Woo, yes, sir. Is the example set by Sam as to being a good friend.
You got a friend in me. You got a friend in me.
I was thinking we could all use a Sam in our lives.
Amen, brother.
Perhaps you've heard the phrase, if you want a friend, be a friend. And that led me to think we should aspire to the phrase, be a Sam. Be a Sam.
I like it.
His devotion and loyalty are a great picture of how to be a real friend. And he was always, giving and seemed to ask for little or nothing in return from Frodo. His biggest shortcoming was being rough and harsh with Gollum, but seemed to do that mostly for Frodo's sake. Hey, there you go.
Yep.
He's a really good picture of how to be selfless, selfless friend to someone. Hmm. Also, I was pleased to see that you already have
the list!
published on your site. That way I won't recommend anything already on it. And I was wondering if anything a bit obscure would be appropriate for the list! Or are you guys focusing on films generally seen by a wider audience? Now, Michael, as the prime director of this show, how would you answer that question?
Me?
Yeah.
I'm the prime director?
I mean, you established the prime directive.
Yes. Well, wow. Wait, let me soak that in for a minute. Much like Riley in National Treasure. Is this how you guys always feel?
I love that scene.
Yes. That's Riley's is awesome. Okay, so anyway.
I have an answer
we'll
time.
Work on this together.
Okay.
We have made a decision, especially at the beginning of the year, that we were going to this year,
2015,
that we were going to shift our focus mainly to newer releases. More specifically, movies that came out that are now coming out on home video. Right?
Right.
So that when people are sitting once again on their
double-decker couch
with their friends and loved ones watching, hey, you know what? Guardians of the Galaxy just came out on Blu-ray. Come on over. Let's watch it. Right? As everybody's want to do, you're going to be prepared to talk about Jesus or to just slip it. All we're asking is that you just plant a seed. We're not saying that you bombard your friends and say, now I'm going to preach at you. No, you're going to plant a seed just like we've been presenting. Hey, did you know what this one part reminds me of? You know, and such, just like what we did. Well, we just think that the purpose of Finding Christ in Cinema is to equip and Christians in order to fulfill the Great Commission. And so it's more important that we focus on newer movies like that. However,
that being said,
we will go periodically. What were we talking? Maybe once a month, maybe every handful of episodes, we'll go back to
the list!
And find something such as we have coming up. Fletch has been requesting for the longest time that we do a M. Night Shyamalan movie, The Village.
It would be our second M. Night Shyamalan.
Right. And
Shyamalama Ding Dong.
Right. And we have plenty of recommendations from others, but we will always add to that. We will always do our best to honor requests.
Speaking of which,
what?
Philip has some requests.
What are they?
Well, he says, here's a few recommendations. Bella, an indie from 2006 that speaks to redemption, family, and the sacredness of life. I honestly have not heard of that.
Heard of that one either.
Like you said, it's an indie, so it's probably one of those hard-to-find ones.
Right.
However, this next one I have heard of, and I've heard a lot of good things in that it's a very thought-provoking movie.
All right.
Road to Perdition.
I've heard of that.
Okay. Which relates to the threat of generational sin and my personal desire to see my... Oh, okay. And then he says, and my personal desire is to see my kids grow into better people than I am.
Amen.
Amen, yeah. I don't have kids, but I can see that. Also, it stars Tom Hanks, Paul Newman, and Daniel Craig.
Say no more.
I mean, hey, we're in.
But
and then...
like Flynn.
And then, Ernest and Celestine.
Hmm.
And I didn't even know this, but this one's an animated movie.
Oh.
So, where love trumps the letter of the law.
Ah.
Hey, there you go.
Yeah, I say that we add those to
the list!
Hey, and also on the list page, GCT or fcc.gctnetwork.com/the list, I don't know. Go to christincinema.com page, and you'll find it under the podcast tab up in the menu at the top, the list. I don't know if it's been kept up to date, but we have a comment box under there so that people can start conversations on that page specifically if you'd like to. So there you go. Anything else?
Well, he just concludes the message with, thanks for the show, guys.
Oh, and thank you, patron saint, Philip.
Fond of horses.
Yes, and for new listeners, Philip is a patron saint because he has supported the network here and actually made it possible for us to purchase this digital recorder, which is how you are hearing the podcast right now if you are listening after the fact. Okay, and then we got some feedback from patron saint Ron of the Red Oaks via text. Brendan, our hotline, 507-407-GCTN, you can send text to that number.
See, I didn't even know that.
I've just never have mentioned it. But Ron...
Well, I mean, in the earlier episodes, we had talked about being a landline.
Yeah.
And I just... For me, landline and text messages didn't coexist.
Yeah, well, you're absolutely right. But see, patron saint Ron of the Red Oaks is an industrious and wise man. And so he
or
said,
he just got lucky.
He said, no, he said, you know what? I'll bet you I can text this number.
Ooh.
And I'm going to, because he says, so if the Newsboys made it, now, didn't they just make recent headlines? Didn't the singer of the Newsboys come out and say, I'm an atheist?
Yeah, yeah.
What's the deal with that? I mean, and plus, it's not even really the Newsboys, is it? It's like a whole different group or something. It's kind of like Menudo or something. They get different people.
Yeah, sure.
Okay, well, regardless. So if the Newsboys made a song for the Godzilla movie, would it be Godzilla's Not Dead?
Wait, where's the studio audience?
Wait, why did you know what? Why did you push the sad trombone? Because I was going for...
Wait, there's that lady again.
Yeah,
somebody get that lady a drink.
She needs one. And he finishes up, says, enjoying your podcast on winter break with no internet. That's why he sent in the text. I bet you I could text this number.
Hey.
Ron says.
Hey, with no internet.
Yes.
We'll get to that later.
507-407-GCTN. Oh, any other feedback?
No. Let's,
you ready for some real news?
Let's roll it. From therap.com. Not that.
Oh,
not that kind of rap. From therap.com, J.J. Abrams takes on Thomas Edison.
They're going to fight?
Hey, I bet.
Okay, tell me more.
Amidst filming, you know, that other movie that J.J. Abrams is working on.
What's that?
That other one.
The
movie.
Second Paddington Bear or something?
Maybe. I don't know. J.J. Abrams and his production company, Bad Robot, have begun developing a new film about the Wizard of Menlo Park himself, Thomas Edison.
Wow.
Yes. Now, when the rap tried to contact the production studio, no comments were given from neither Abrams or his partner in production crime, Brian Burke. This flies in the face, however, into the Weinstein's company own Thomas Edison production entitled The Current War. Get it?
That's a good one.
The Current War. Although nothing has really moved anywhere since its conception with that project. More on this story as it develops, but my question is this. Can David Bowie come back as Nikola Tesla?
Ah, then we could talk about the film again and mix it back in with the Inception.
Prestige.
Prestige. Well, my question is this film going to be nothing but Thomas Edison developing 1,000 light bulbs before he gets one to work?
That would be kind of boring. I mean, honestly, if he could develop 1,000 different light bulbs, where Nikola Tesla, he could develop the same light bulb 1,000 times with his clone machine.
I love it. Hey, from JesusGeek.info, is John Rhys Davies able to lead Christian film into the promised land? Yes, Brendan, last Thursday on Finding Christ in Cinema recording day, Burns Family Studios released the official trailer for Beyond the Mask.
Call the shot, Mr. Brand. One last time.
On my mark. Fire.
William, have I not impressed upon you the opportunities that could await you in the Americas?
Charles.
You are the man that I need there.
I'm done.
You mean that?
Yes.
Make sure he's dead.
Driver, your carriage is on fire!
There was a sense of divine justice that an assassin like me should be forced to live a different life.
I'm looking for Benjamin Franklin. You're Mr. Franklin.
Now that depends. Do I owe you money?
Can a man who has made his life a web of lies earn trust again?
It helps that I believe in forgiveness.
Redemption, not revenge. There's only one name with the power to make you new.
I will create a new reputation honorable enough to save me from my past.
In a mask, was he?
Go, all of you, create havoc.
No one will stand in our way.
Neither redemption or love can ever be earned.
Do you favor the king or alternatives yet to be explored?
I will dismantle his plans piece by piece.
How does he know our every move? Are we compromised?
We intend to blow up the entire city.
He is a gentleman. Full of surprises.
All right, let me lay the synopsis on you. You ready?
Wait, now hold on, Michael. Okay. You mean to tell me that this isn't a sequel to Jim Carrey's 1994 classic, The Mask?
I don't know.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. It could be. Well, let's find out in the synopsis here. Double-crossed and on the run. So far, sounds like it could be. No. Double-crossed and on the run, an assassin for the British East India Company seeks to redeem his past by thwarting a plot against a young nation's hope for freedom. Coming to theaters spring 2015, Beyond the Mask is a revolutionary new family film that brings history to life in a faith-filled adventure celebrating grace, liberty, and the true freedom that can only be found in Christ. The leading mercenary for the British East India Company, Will Reynolds, has just been double-crossed and now is on the run in the American colonies, working to redeem his name and win back the affections of the woman with whom he's never been fully truthful. Will now hides behind a new mask in hopes of thwarting his former employer. As his past life closes in on him, Will must somehow gain the trust and the help of his beloved Charlotte, as well as Ben Franklin. While he races against time to defuse a plot of historical, I almost said hysterical, of historical proportions.
Da-da-da-da-da-da.
Yes. The film stars the legendary John Sala Gimli Rhys Davies.
That's my wee lad Gimli.
And for that alone, I will see it. You get all the information that you need at beyondthemaskmovie.com. What do you think?
Hey, I'm all for it because I watched the trailer when it when your friend tweeted it to
us. Yes, John Wilkerson from Wired Homeschool. Well, he runs JesusGeek.info. Everybody get to his website. We'll have a link to this story in the rundown.
I watched the trailer that day, and I was really taken aback by the production value.
Yeah?
Oh, man. It looks so good.
Was it better than God's Not Dead?
Ugh.
Okay, now let's...
Actually, Michael, on that note...
Yes.
Just to rant a little bit.
Okay.
And this doesn't count as my lightning round.
Oh.
But it just seems like nowadays production value is so easy to produce because we have, you know, different camera filters that can make an image clearer. We have better sound technology available for free at home.
Yes.
And, you know, movies like God's Not Dead. I mean, they come out and they look great.
Well, the reason why John wrote about this movie, and that's the reason why we're aware of it, because he mentioned us in a tweet saying, hey, you guys might be interested in this, is because we know that for the most part.
Don't say it.
For the most part.
I know where you're going.
Christian films stink.
Okay? Well, you said it, not me.
I did.
And I agree with you.
I'll defend myself on that statement. It's true.
I'm right there with you, buddy. Yeah.
And so this one, I mean, first of all, you have Gimli in it. Come on.
Hey.
John Rhys Davies. Okay, gravitas right away. I mean, I'll watch it because of him. And hopefully unbelievers will watch it. because of him.
Hopefully. And that's the hope. And I honestly think that should be the hope for all Christian art.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is to reach out to non-believers.
Now, there is a whole philosophy. We ought to save this for a special episode.
Well, all right, let's go ahead and get the foretaste going.
Christian film, okay, is for the most part preaching to the choir.
Exactly.
Now, there are people out there, Brendan, that would argue with us and say, exactly, and that is what we need. We need to be bolstered in our faith. Well, friends, go.
Can I just say, you need to be entertained to do that.
You got to
pay
point.
Exorbitant ticket prices and ominous amounts of popcorn to do that.
Has our affinity for God's word been so dumbed down that you have to trick people into getting Christian content into them?
Ooh, we have to. You mean we have to lie to spread the gospel?
Yeah.
We have to con and deceive.
Now, we're raising the ire and the hackles of many people out there, Brendan.
Rein it back in.
Yeah, rein it back in. And that is why here at Finding Christ in Cinema, we are doing what Paul did and using what the culture is engaged in.
Already. It's already
and
out there.
They're not, you don't have to trick them into coming into your worship building or your film. They're watching Captain America. They're watching Star Trek Into Darkness. They're watching all these films that we talk about. And so it is our job and our duty to equip Christians out there, well, since you're going to be, you are watching these movies with your friends. We already know you are. Here's some tools that you can use in order to plant the seed of the gospel. That's what we're here for. That's what we believe in. That said, I've seen, I can't remember, what's that guy's name? They make all the fireproof, those kind of movies.
Which guy?
Well, the last one that they made was about they were police officers.
I know what you're.
That was a good movie.
You mean like the production company?
Yeah,
I can't remember.
I can't remember that fellow's name. But anyway, I only seen one of their movies, and it was the as far as I know the last one that they made, where it's about a group of police officers. And I thought that was a good movie. I thought the production values were great, and I enjoyed it. But for the most part, you know, everybody, any unbelievers that I know, they're not watching those movies. Anyway, rant. Over.
Rant over. Sorry, guys.
Okay.
Apparently that had been bubbling up in us for a while.
Yeah.
So this week in home entertainment, Birdman.
Oh!
Ah!
Oh! Oh,
man. Hashtag filters, just so you know.
Oh, okay.
Birdman, Whiplash. Now, Whiplash, this is the movie with J.K. Simmons. He's starring as I think it's like a private school band conductor.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
Yes. This one looks really good. It's got a lot of Oscar buzz. We'll see the results of the Oscars this Sunday, and we'll give you a report next week. However, I do want to see Whiplash. This one looks pretty good. And, of course, also out this week, Big Hero 6.
Right. And we'll be watching that as a family movie night, I do believe.
Now, when you say family movie night, do you mean...
Like revamping the family movie night article?
Yes.
It could be, because since we've moved, we haven't even had a family movie night.
You guys need to get on.
Yeah,
that.
It's time to get that back going, isn't it? All right. Okay, now it's time for a quick rundown of the articles posted on the Finding Christ in Cinema Facebook page this past week at facebook.com/Christ in Cinema.
First off, you know what's really bad? First three stories are stuff that we've already talked about. Guys, it's been a slow news week, I'm just going to tell you, but it's all because the Oscars are this weekend. So a lot of... All the coverage is going toward the Oscars, and we just don't want to burden you with that. So, hey, first off, we're live in the GCTN studios. Second, J.J. Abrams on Thomas Addison.
Move along, brother.
Third...
Skip forward, brother.
Hey, I'm going...
A little Monty Python.
Hey, look, there's a new Monday movie review on Finding Christ in Cinema.
Yay! Hey, okay. All the kids say...
Hey, here's one. Samuel L. Jackson supports the Marvel Cinematic Universe for a reason.
Hmm.
Why? Because he believes that they get the audience more juiced up than DC movies.
Okay.
You got to read that interview.
Read the whole interview.
Yeah, that's a good one. Hey, this week's show, Star Trek Into Darkness. Everything you need to know about The Hobbit, Battle of the Five Armies, theatrical... Video on demand, DVD, Blu-ray release.
Is tied up in March 24th. Move on.
Oh, hey, well, I guess we'll get there. Cinema Blends, Sean O'Connell discusses the ending of The Prestige.
Ah.
Parentheses, didn't we already talk about it in FCC 19?
Did he come to the same conclusions as us?
You'll have to read.
All right.
Oh, hey, here we go. This is actually news. X-Men Apocalypse has its new Nightcrawler.
And?
It's of course, a younger version of the superhero. Cody Smith McPhee.
Good.
That's the
we talked about Nanny McPhee earlier.
That's the they're not related.
Oh.
Hey, here's some more news.
Yes.
Pirates of the Caribbean, Dead Men Tell No Tales has officially begun production in Australia.
It has. Get ready.
And I gotta tell you, I heard a casting confirmation this week also about this movie. I believe it's in the article. Can't remember, it's kind of all blurring together. But Javier Bardem is also now a part of this cast.
All right.
You know who that is?
No.
He's a good actor. He often plays bad guys. I got a feeling he'll be a bad guy in this movie. More on that later.
Okay.
Could a Middle Earth Film Museum finally be coming to Wellington?
Oh, read that article. That's from theonering.net. They've been talking about this museum since way back at the Fellowship of the Ring.
Mark Ruffalo discusses the future of the Hulk and working with Andy Serkis at the Imaginarium Studio.
You read that article. Very exciting for Hulk fans. Fellow Hulk fans, I should say.
Hey, Lego Aquaman manning the mixing board at the GCT Network podcasting studio.
Yes!
Get out of there!
I've tied our Instagram account into Facebook.
Hey, under the radar.
Uh-oh, right now? As I'm drinking water?
Kids, 80s kids rejoice. Robotech film coming. How'd we miss this?
I don't know.
Well, first of all, I don't know what Robotech is, so that's
well,
all. That's
hopefully
all
it's better than Transformers.
Yeah, what you said. Hey, there's that Godzilla episode. And speaking of our new Godzilla episode, happy birthday, Elizabeth Olsen.
Yeah!
Born February 16th. 1989. That's a good year from what I hear.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I mean, I don't know what to tell you. All right, and that wraps it up.
Okay, that was a quick rundown this time of the articles posted on the Finding Christ in Cinema Facebook page. The links to all of our social accounts are found on our main website at christincinema.com. The lightning round!
Now, I want to talk about this little column. Another little column.
Yeah, you posted something, but it looked a little too thick for me to dive into before a show.
Hey, actually, it really wasn't.
Oh.
It's not that thick in complexity. It's actually really simple. But be warned.
Okay.
It's like Jesus is really simple.
Okay.
It's that kind of simple.
Yeah. Simple to say?
Yeah.
Or difficult to follow.
Well, the column is called LOL Interwebs with a Z. and it's an article found at christandpopculture.com. Every week, to quote the site's own tagline, every Thursday in LOL Interwebs, Luke T. Harrington explores the quirks and foibles of internet culture from a gospel perspective. Yes. Now, previous titles include Six Things You Can Stop Telling People to Stop Posting on Social Media. And there will be a $500 fine if you fail to share this column with on Facebook. See, he's you see where he's coming from.
Okay. I love it already.
Now, the article I posted this morning came out this morning. Is entitled "The Blood of Your Tweets Cries Out from the Ground."
Ooh,
now that's a good
very
one.
Very intriguing,
and it tackles all the Twitterverse hoopla surrounding Justine Sacco's tweet from 2013, which reads, "Going to Africa, hope I don't get AIDS. Just kidding, I'm white."
That sounds a little...
A little too much.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, you gotta get over...
There's a story behind it?
There is a story.
Ah!
Yes.
Much like there often is?
Yes, there is.
Ah.
Yes, hey. But you gotta get over to christandpopculture.com to check it out.
And we'll have a link to that in our blog post?
Yes, we will.
All right, I have no lightning round this week, so we'll just move on and ask listeners out there, what themes did you find in Star Trek Into Darkness? There are plenty. It's heavy. We already discussed that. Heavy with Christian themes in this film. Share some of them with us. What did we miss? What did you wish that we had talked about?
Because there's a lot of stuff we could talk about. Khan. We didn't even talk about Khan in this episode. How do we not talk about Khan?
Well, you know what I was also going to say in that whole scene that I was using in where Kirk and Spock are in there with Admiral Pike. Spock is, for all intent and purposes, the Satan. He's the accuser.
Spock is?
Yes, because he accuses Kirk. He says, these are the laws, these are the rules, these are Starfleet commands, and this is how Kirk violated them. And that's what the adversary does. That is the Satan that you can find all over in the New Testament. Hmm. I mean, all over in the Old Testament, I should say, and perhaps maybe even in the New Testament in areas.
Now, Michael, it sounds like you're setting up the case that if Kirk is Jesus and Spock is Satan and the Enterprise is life, it's kind of like you're saying that we should go through life with an angel on one shoulder and the devil on the other.
What? Do I look like a cartoon?
You said anyway.
Hey, we've said a lot of provocative things on this episode. Plenty of them, probably more than we have in a long time.
Maybe more than we should. We'll find out.
Yeah, give us some feedback. What did you think? Brendan, what are we going to watch next time?
Well, check your suggestion box over there. I'll see if you agree.
What is that? Yeah, but let's do it.
Hey, let's do it. All right.
Fletch.
Mango Times.
Fletch, you have your wish.
Next week, we'll be doing The Village.
Okay. finally. So we can scratch that off of the list.
Yes. Wait. Since we're doing The Village and we're people, does that make us the village people?
Oh, please. It's not even the end of the show yet.
Oh, I should have saved that for later.
Hey, friends, Finding Christ in Cinema is live in the GCT Network studio each Tuesday, Lord willing, at around 3 p.m. Central Time. You can join us for audio and video. Well, we don't have the audio going because our computer died, so it'll be a while until we can get the audio only going. But especially our chat room. Use the chat room and the video player at gctnetwork.com/live. We'll see you here on Finding Christ in Cinema. We're part of the Great Commission Transmission Network, using new media and social networking to equip and encourage you to go into all the world and proclaim the good news to everyone. To find out more and to partner with us, visit us at gctnetwork.com/donate. For everything Finding Christ in Cinema, all the back episodes of the podcast, Brendan's Monday movie review, my hopefully soon to be revamped family movie night, the links to all of our social networking accounts can all be found at ChristInCinema.com. Now, if you're old fashioned, you want to just send us an email like patron Saint Philip did, send that to FCC@GCTNetwork.com.
Or if you want to send us a text message like Ron did.
Yeah!
You can just pull out your phones and text us or call us and leave a voicemail at 507-407-GCTN. And if that phone number doesn't work, you can try our other phone number at 507-407-4286.
That's just as fascinating as the first 89 times you told me that.
That's 46 times.
Thank you, Emmett. Thank you. Now, let's say you don't like comedians.
No, I don't.
You know I hate comedians.
But you really like falafel.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like falafel.
You can listen to us at iTunes, you can listen to us at Stitcher, and you can listen to us at TuneIn Radio when you search the stores. Not for some
bubbling band of baboons.
Just search the stores for Finding Christ in Cinema.
The air cut to it!
And for all the shows that we produce here at the Great Commission Transmission Network, including the Theonauts. Listen to their last episode, God and War. Get over to the official website at gctnetwork.com. Brendan Taylor, anything else?
Well, you know what the Vulcan people call eyeglasses?
No.
Spocticles?
Oh, and that is a wrap!
Stuff like this, it gives him trust issues.
Told you he was tricksy.
I don't understand.
It's a madhouse! A madhouse!
Sad, strange little man.
Come on, stop trying to hit me and hit me.
I'm a miracle. Witness the firepower of this fully armed and operational
double-decker couch.
Fool of a Tukron does not simply walk into Mordor.
What a bunch of hippy-dippy baloney.
It's stuff like this. It gives them trust issues.
Potatoes!
You are tuned in to the GCT Network.
This is your Great Commission. This is your Great Commission transmission.
At GCTnetwork.com.
Shields restored.
Commander, power online.
Mr. Spa,
altitude stabilizing.
It's a miracle.